It is rarely an indication that a given state is coherent, cohesive, and functional when more than one person claims to be the head of it. Indeed, this sort of situation is much more usually an indication of actual or imminent civil war. Such a standoff has been occurring for some months in Afghanistan, where two men, Ashraf Ghani and Abdullah Abdullah, each insist that they won last September's presidential election.
In Afghanistan, President Ashraf Ghani has sworn in for a second term in Kabul, but his rival Abdullah Abdullah refused to recognize the inauguration and held his own swearing-in ceremony as a president.
The official result held that Ghani, the incumbent, had won it pretty handily and had therefore been re-elected. Abdullah claimed the whole thing was a fix, declared victory anyway, and vowed to form a parallel administration.
The earlier indications are that we have more votes, and that's what was claimed. And yes, of course, even to the extension that things have been investigated so far, it shows a lot of irregularities.
Last month, Ghani and Abdullah went so far as to hold competing inauguration ceremonies. A watching world struggled to imagine how this was going to end well. There is now some possibly positive news.
Reports are coming in of a key political development in Afghanistan. President Ashraf Ghani and his rival Abdullah Abdullah have ended months of crisis by agreeing to share power.
The rival claimants appear to have put their dispute behind them. Earlier this week, Ghani and Abdullah came to terms. The agreement they signed acknowledges Ghani as president, but allows Abdullah to choose half of Ghani's cabinet and to lead peace talks with the Taliban, should any such negotiations occur.
Today is a great and historical day for our beloved Afghanistan. Afghans proved that they think wisely and collectively about their national interests.
The leaders who are present here worked hard to encourage the Afghan people. There is no doubt that the international community is in support of this political agreement, along with countries in the region.
Before we look at how and why we got here and at what might happen next, spoiler alert, the dawning of a gilded era of peace and prosperity is a long shot, a recap of the two uneasily reconciled pretenders.
In terms of direction, we're going well. In terms of accomplishments, we have some significant ones. But in terms of satisfying the needs and aspirations of the people, we have a lot to do.
Ashraf Ghani, President Ashraf Ghani, as he now indisputably is, spent much of Afghanistan's long decades of war with the Soviet Union and subsequently itself in the United States, where he worked as an academic and for the World Bank. He returned to Afghanistan after the Taliban were chased out of Kabul by the United States and its allies in late 2001. Ghani became Minister of Finance, won plaudits in some quarters, and was at one point touted as a potential Secretary General of the United Nations. Instead, he ran for president in 2009 and lost. Then again in 2014 and won, though the candidate he beat, one Abdullah Abdullah, disputed the result and forced Ghani into a power-sharing arrangement. Observant listeners may detect a pattern emerging.
Election is a commitment before the people of Afghanistan, which has to take place on time. At the same time, it has to be free and fair and transparent. That's the condition that was promised to the people of Afghanistan, and the commission, the Independent Election Commission, has to deliver.
Abdullah Abdullah, an eye surgeon by training, spent much of the war against the Soviets as an advisor to legendary Mujahideen commander Ahmed Shah Massoud, and during the period of Taliban rule in the 1990s, served as a sort of foreign minister in exile for the Northern Alliance and other factions attempting to take the country back. He became Afghanistan's actual foreign minister in the first post-Taliban government. The 2019 election was his third unsuccessful attempt to become president. As to what nudged Ghani and Abdullah towards compromise, while some variety of agreement was always likely after an amount of theatrical posturing, attention seems to have been focused by last week's terrorist attack on the maternity ward at Kabul's Dasht-e-Bachi hospital, a horrific crime that left 24 women, children and babies dead. It was revolting enough, indeed, that it refocused international attention on Afghanistan, which most violence in the country nowadays does not. On the same day as the atrocity at Dasht-e-Bachi, 32 people were killed by a suicide bomber at a police officer's funeral in Nangarhar province, five more in the truck bombing of a military court in Gardez, resulting in many fewer headlines abroad. This past Monday, seven more people were killed in the car bombing of an Afghan intelligence facility in Ghazni. Islamic State claimed the funeral bombing, the Taliban, the Gardez and Ghazni attacks, the big brave warriors who perpetrated the hospital massacre, have been strangely reluctant to own up. As to what happens now, the hope is that a unified Afghan government, or at least an Afghan government which can do a plausible impression of being unified, will be in a position to restart peace talks with the Taliban. This is certainly what the US wants, having reached its own accommodation with the Taliban in February. Ghani and Abdullah had barely finished shaking hands when US Special Representative to Afghanistan, Zalmi Khalilzad, touched down in Kabul. At which point we are reminded that Ghani and Abdullah may have had good reasons for preferring to argue with each other. Each knew what the other wanted: power. It is far less certain that the Taliban want peace. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.